JC Corcoran Podcast.
But I just
you see yourself living in St. Louis 30 years from now?
Probably.
Really?
Yeah, because of Sam's career and mine. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even at 62?
Karen Kelly in the Breakfast Club. It has a nice ring.
Who's this on the Wolfman telephone? Hello.
Is this about the apartment on King's Highway?
Is this about the what?
Apartment.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a two-bedroom.
Uh-huh.
The shower works fine.
Uh-huh.
And what other questions do you have?
How much is it a month?
$750.
I mean, is it all? It includes
heat, electric, air conditioning, and don't let the smell bother you. It hasn't bothered the last two or three people who have lived there. We're not sure it was a skunk. Most people, when they guess, they say skunk.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't bother most people.
Okay.
Now, the guy above you, he was never convicted.
Okay.
And there's only one other problem.
Uh-huh, Nick.
My pet dog, Sparky, I can't keep him anymore, and he has to stay in the apartment.
In the apartment that I'm
Yes, in fact, I'll tell you what. I'll knock off $100 if you continue to watch Sparky for me.
All right.
You want to think about it, or?
$650.
You know what? $600. If you watch Sparky, $600.
All right.
When can you move in?
On the first of the month.
All right. Now, you sure about Sparky?
I'm fine.
You sure about that? I don't know. Sparky, down, boy. Sparky, take it easy. Sparky, down, boy.
Is he a mean dog?
Sparky, down, boy. Sparky, down, boy. Down. If you don't make eye contact, everything's fine.
That's fine.
Okay. All right, let me put you on hold. We'll get right back to you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. The hell is going on?
As long as you don't make eye contact.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again. Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu.
Tuesday, September 27th, 2022, 42 days until the midterm clusterfuck. How are you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com, right in the storm out, right in the storm out. With apologies to Kevin Cronin and REO Speedwagon. How are you doing, kids? Well, it's been an interesting 24 hours. I'll say that, the rapid development of the storm. I went down to Clearwater yesterday, Clearwater Beach, because I knew the Weather Channel guys were there. Now, I was looking for Jim Cantore. That was the guy I wanted to meet. I wanted to shake his hand, get a picture, and maybe get a quick interview play for you guys. And instead, I ran into Paul Goodloe, who used to be a meteorologist for Channel 5 back in the 90s. He played in a charity softball game. This was the Mike Bush Field of Dreams game that they used to do. I don't think they do it anymore, but it was like, you know, a bunch of media celebrities against one another. And I think maybe we were playing, I think this particular one, we were playing against a team that was from the St. Peter's area. That's my recollection of this whole thing. And so I was pitching, and Mike Bush was, I think he was playing short. And Paul Goodloe, the Channel 5 meteorologist, was playing first base. And so, this guy's huge, by the way. He's got to be 6'5", maybe 6'6". He is in remarkable physical condition, by the way. Flat stomach, the whole thing. And so, anyhow, I'm pitching in this game, and there's a ground ball back to me. And so, I throw to first, and it becomes very, very clear that Paul Goodloe, while looking like Michael Jordan standing there over at first base, may never have attempted to catch a ball before in his life. He just, I don't know. It just didn't look like he was an athlete, at least not a baseball athlete. Maybe he does something else, but you know, you throw somebody a ball and they look
panic-stricken. But anyhow, he's very nice. We had a nice talk yesterday. Brought him up to date on the St. Louis market with regard to meteorologists and stuff like that. And if you're saying to yourself, Jesus, JC, you really sound sort of upbeat and like your normal self, considering there's, I don't know, 75 inches of rain and a storm surge coming. And that's about all you can do, because otherwise you get in your car and you bug out. Now, here's the deal. I live in one of the mandatory evacuation areas. Where I'm speaking to you from right now is 1.6 miles from the Gulf of Mexico. You go down the street about a mile, and the sea level is, what was it? He said 30 feet above sea level. That's it. 30 feet. That's nothing. That's only halfway between home plate and the pitcher's mound. That's not much resistance. All right. So now there's a little bit of a grade change about two blocks away, and it immediately goes to 70 feet above sea level. So that's where we are. And we're about 25 miles northwest of downtown Tampa. So we're away, while we're only, you know, mile and a half away from the ocean, we're pretty far from where all of those rivers and tributaries and everything are in downtown Tampa, where the Riverwalk is and stuff like that. So that's the rain and the water part, right? And that's the thing about these hurricanes. It makes things so complicated, all right? So that's the water part. Now let's talk about wind. By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be crying. But by the time the hurricane gets here, it'll go from a 4 down to a 2 and then very rapidly down to a 1. But they're warning everybody, don't think to yourself, oh, Cat 1, that's no problem. Because it's a lot more complicated than that, because this motherfucker is going to come up the coast, get to Tampa, bring an 8 to 12 foot storm surge, 12 feet. Then it starts raining, you know, maybe 20 inches. They say some places could get more than that. And then the thing is just going to sit there. It's going to go like 3 miles an hour, which is perfect for Florida. It turns out Ian is a retiree. Ian's going to come up the coast at 3 miles an hour with its directional signal on. All right. So I don't know why I'm laughing. This is destruction here. So it's just gonna rain and rain and rain and rain and rain for a couple of days. So that's that part of the storm. Now you start taking into consideration electricity. Almost everybody in my neighborhood has said, I hope you got a generator, which I do, by the way. Hope you got a generator because we're gonna lose power. So the question becomes, how long are you gonna lose power? Is it going to be one of these things where it's going to be off for a day or two? Or is it going to be one of those things where 2 weeks from now, I'm still telling you we don't have any power? That's the thing that makes me nervous. And also, the pumping stations at the water plants, they all run on electricity. So if the power plants or the pumping stations lose power, now you got no water either. Now, of course, we have bottles and bottles of water and a couple of those really huge jugs. I got 6 of those. And I got gasoline. I got 9 gallons of gas. I went to one of those Speedway places yesterday afternoon, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They have 18 pumps. 18 pumps. Every single one of them dry at 3 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday. And then, of course, there is wind. And as I said, what's going to happen is this thing's going to come up the coast and it will rapidly drop from a 4 to a 2 and then a 1. And so those are, I guess you would say, manageable winds, but still you're in the 80, 90 mile an hour wind category then. So that is the situation we're looking at. Store shelves are empty. I went in yesterday to buy, I don't know, it was like ketchup or something. They hadn't run out of that, but they had run out of everything else. So it is dry, it is quiet, it is the calm before the storm as we speak here at, you know, 7-ish in the morning, and that's where we are. Things will be much more interesting at this time. There are other stories going on because, you know, you got to remind yourself, hey, I'm not talking to Florida. I'm talking to St. Louis. And there's probably a lot of people who are like, oh, shut up with a hurricane already. It doesn't affect me. And I totally understand that, by the way. And at the same time, you do have to take into consideration all the people who have friends, who have family, who have property in Florida. You got to keep that in mind, too. So that's where we are. But as I said, tomorrow morning, I don't know what the hell we're going to be looking at. All right, let's shift gears a little bit. I'm fascinated by this NASA story. All the good stories are coming out of outer space these days, you know, because you got the Webb telescope, you got the Hubble telescope. And yesterday, NASA successfully crashed a ship into an asteroid to see how much it will deflect its orbit. And it's the first time we've ever moved a celestial body out in space. Now, that story is a little bit misleading because we don't even know if it's altered the path. I mean, that's what they're hoping. That's what they're hoping. But, you know, I don't think we know that yet. But it will be sort of nice to hear if the orbit has been altered or if the path has been altered, because one of these days we are going to be facing a real life situation where it's like, that thing's headed for Earth. Anybody got any good ideas? I think it's admirable that somebody thought to themselves, maybe we ought to try to get ahead of this whole thing. And in other news, to be Brad Pitt. That's all I can say. To be Brad Pitt. As you know, I have frequently stated that I believe that the two most sultry women in the world, and that's different from pretty or from overall appealing or something like that. But if you're just looking at, oh, Jesus, are you hot? The two women right now are Paige Spiranak, the golfer, and actress and model Emily Ratajkowski. And now it turns out that despite their 27-year age gap, Brad Pitt and Emily Ratajkowski have reportedly been dating in secret, although an insider claims Brad isn't exclusive with anybody right now. Can you imagine that? Getting your hands on Emily Ratajkowski and going, well, but I'd still like to play the field. What do you think you're going to find? That's like sitting down at dinner and somebody prepares for you an absolutely perfect filet mignon with just a suggestion of pink in the center and a lobster, fresh, drawn butter, some asparagus spears with some mystery seasoning that make them taste even better than that. And oh, bring on this bottle of wine, the absolute perfect meal, the absolute perfect meal. And you say, yeah, but there's a Hardee's down the street. You know, they have the meats. You're dating Emily Ratajkowski, but you're still, still want to look around a little bit. There could be something better out there. No, there's not. That woman is devastatingly attractive. All right, Brad, you do what you want. You know, I mean, but this guy, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow and then Jennifer Aniston and then, never mind. The NFL finally woke up and they realized nobody gives a shit about the Pro Bowl, so they're going to have fun with it. And I like this idea. This is a smart idea because that Pro Bowl is a joke. So they're going to turn the whole thing into a flag football game that'll be preceded by a week's worth of competitions between the AFC and the NFC, and then the game will be played on February 5th. I think that's a spectacular idea. Meanwhile, Brett Favre, it turns out, is maybe not the hero that everybody thought. I've said this so many times, do not look for hero worship in the sports world. You probably have a hero, you probably have somebody in your family who is equal to hero status than some athlete that you don't even know. And it turns out Brett Favre wanted even more of that sweet welfare money than we originally thought. They thought that it was just the volleyball complex somewhere in Mississippi at his daughter's school, but it was also like another sports complex. And he knew what he was doing. It's not like they issued some sort of, Brad Favre didn't know that it was welfare money. Well, first of all, where do you think all that money was coming from? Are you printing it in somebody's basement? That's number one. But number two is, they have a tape of him talking about it. They got a tape. They were tapping the phone line. Apparently, they knew that there was some funny business going on. And you got Brett Favre actually saying the words. Now, is there any way the media could find out about this? Yeah, that's pretty much an admission of guilt, asshole. Clickbait story of the day. 57-year-old Shania Twain is nearly naked on the cover of her new single, Wake Up Dreaming. She's wearing a cowboy hat and boots and a shirt tied around her waist. She said it was her idea because she wanted to make a statement about being comfortable in her own skin. There's nothing. There's nothing showing it all. It's total hype on this whole thing. I like this story. Victoria Beckham says she enjoys, these are her words, she enjoys tasting her husband's sticky stuff. And by that, we are referring to the honey from his beehives. But I like the look on your face. Stand-up special from Nick Kroll today, starting on Netflix. Late Night Tonight, Kelly Ripa, who ruffled some feathers yesterday, she's got a new book. And the way, again, this is clickbait, she and Regis didn't always get along very well. And then you read the thing, and it's like, well, yes, they did. And it was somebody trying to sell books. And she's on with Jimmy Fallon tonight. Jimmy Kimmel's got David Letterman and Tracy Morgan as he does the show out of Brooklyn. And then Stephen Colbert, Samuel L. Jackson, and Clarissa Ward from, she was with CBS News. I think it was CNN, though. Kelsey Ballerina on with James Corden. Seth Meyers as Nick Kroll, talking about his special. And also Dick Ebersole, who was an executive at NBC for a long time. And, you know, that's the whole Norm MacDonald story and everything like that. I wonder if he's going to. He must have a book or something. All right, birthdays today. Avril Lavigne, 38. Gwyneth Paltrow, the aforementioned, 50 years old. Comedian and podcaster Mark Maron, 59. Sean Cassidy, one of the Hardy Boys, 64. And Randy Bachman from Bachman Turner Overweight, oops, I meant Overdrive, is 79. The Warren Commission was published on this date, 1964, 58 years ago. It was released to the public 3 days after it was presented to Lyndon Johnson, and it concluded there was no conspiracy in the JFK assassination, domestic or international, and that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. It was bullshit then. It's bullshit now. 36 years ago on this date, 1986. Wait a minute. Twist and Shout, the song from the 60s by the Beatles, is back on the charts. Yeah, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And also Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield. Mark McGwire hit home run number 69 and 70 on this date back in 1998. And 14 years ago today, in 2008, Scarlett Johansson married Ryan Reynolds. They split up 2 years later. She's now married to Colin Jost from Saturday Night Live. And Ryan is married to Blake Lively. Everybody goes away happy. When you think of Chef Boyardee, you are not necessarily talking about fine dining, which is the reason it's a surprise that Woodrow Wilson, former president, his wedding was catered by a young chef named Ettore Boyardee, who would go on to create the brand Chef Boyardee. It's like Trump serving Big Macs when he has dignitaries to the White House. Woodrow Wilson's wedding, and they're eating SpaghettiOs in the Department of Where Are They Now? The boy whose exorcism was the inspiration behind the movie The Exorcist grew up to be a NASA engineer. His work contributed to the Apollo mission back in the 1960s. You know, when Steve Harvey says, if we asked 100 people this question, name something you like to shove up your husband's ass. It turns out that those are all done by telephone. I think that what they used to do is they used to do those questionnaires with the audiences who came to see Family Feud, but I guess they stopped doing that. So all of those things are done by telephone, but be careful, because if they call up and they say, hey, we're from Family Feud and we got some questions, do you want to participate? You say, sure, why not? They'll keep you on the phone for a while. 30 to 40 questions. Don't make that mistake. And speaking of mistakes, the average American estimates they've made 4 wrong major decisions in their life. 31% say they've made more than that. 71% say they wish they had more guidance when it comes to making large life decisions. I don't know. Making mistakes, that's how you learn stuff. You know, mistakes are a part of life. 54% say they turn to their friends and family for advice when making major decisions. 40% do their own research, usually online. Oh, that's a great idea. 28% will seek out industry professionals, and 26% will read informational books. And 25% will look for informational videos and TV shows. A new poll. There's nothing worse than living in a house where you got bad neighbors. I have very good neighbors. I've really been fortunate. I've really only had a couple of bad neighbors in the houses that I've had. When I was living in Ladue, when I was making major, major coin, I was living in Ladue. A guy up the hill from me was a crackpot. It's my understanding he was filthy rich and had one of those names that when you say it, you should really drop your jaw. His first name was Wolcott. Wolcott. And they had a dog, and it was one of those yippers that just barked 24 hours a day, and the dog was always left outside. And there were times where this guy was not home a lot, and they would just leave the dog outside. It'd be like 1 o'clock in the morning, and the dog is barking. And the dog just barked eternally, over and over and over again. So I moved out of that house, and then I moved in. I was in Chesterfield for a couple of years, and then I moved back into Ladue years later, and again, it's a fucking dog. And this dog was just barking continually, but I had some foliage and some trees and bushes and stuff, so I couldn't really see the house to find out what was wrong with the dog. So one day, I just walked over there, and I had to go down a hill and through some bushes and stuff like that. I came around the corner, and the dog was on a 3-foot chain. No water. Dog's on a 3-foot chain. And it was a black family, by the way. So now, if you go down there and you cause trouble, now you're a racist, right? So it was a couple of weeks later, we called the cops on him a couple of times, and I guess they found out that somebody had called the police because the police showed up and said, what's the deal with the dog? And I don't know what happened. All I know is the dog kept barking. So I went down there again a couple of weeks later, just basically say, can I reason with these people? And about a, I don't know, maybe 17-year-old kid came out and threatened to, and these were his words, fuck you up, end quote. So if you got bad neighbors, that's a bad thing. You got great neighbors or even good neighbors, and that's a good thing. I'm next door to the fire chief of this county that I live in, which is great because he's got that county vehicle sitting in the driveway all the time. And across the street and down a couple of houses, there's a county cop. So this neighborhood is considered pretty safe because the burglars are like, let's go somewhere else. Anyhow, a new poll found half of us have at least one neighbor we wish would move away. People with young kids were twice as likely to say a neighbor has made them want to move. So it seems like that could be a major factor. 31% of people with security cameras have caught a neighbor doing something odd on video. There might be more bad neighbors out there than you think. 52% of people would consider sneaking into a neighbor's yard to change or fix something. 24% said they'd even risk taking a dip in a neighbor's pool or a hot tub. Have you ever asked for a cup of sugar or some other ingredient like that? Young and old people are the most likely to do it. About 30% of millennials and people over the age of 75 have asked. Only about 20% of boomers and 14% of Gen Xers said yes. Well, if you get to know your neighbors, well, then you can do almost anything because they're like friends. And you come over to borrow a cup of sugar. We have really, really good neighbors. I'm very, very thankful of all that. Woman in the UK spent 3 days in the hospital after her chihuahua got a stomach bug, had a bout of diarrhea during a nap they were taking together, and then the dog accidentally pooped in her mouth while she was sleeping. 3 days in the hospital. And I'm just guessing, bad breath. 43-year-old woman in Texas named Grumpy. A 43-year-old woman in Texas named Grumpy was arrested last week after she drunkenly stabbed her husband in a Goodwill parking lot. Husband's going to be okay. Grumpy was charged with aggravated assault. If you're like me and you go to the beach and you immediately start trying to hold your stomach in, be warned, sucking in your stomach can lead to breathing and pelvic issues. as well as neck and back pain. And some random things they say you should never flush down the toilet, since it can cause issues for pipes and ultimately even the oceans. Food, hair, chewing gum, and medicine. On this date in 1996, I was in New York. And when you're a kid just growing up on the south side of Chicago, and you think to yourself, well, I think I might want to do this broadcasting thing, maybe radio and TV, and your parents say, you can't be a disc jockey. It's like, well, I think maybe I want to be more than that, but they got over that. And then they were very, very supportive. But, you know, initially it was like, wait a minute. But you sit there and you just think to yourself, you try to project how big you think you can get. How successful could I be? It's like anybody else. You have dreams. And you sit there and you think to yourself, wouldn't it be great if, and then depending on what field of study you decide to pursue, you start projecting, well, I have a daughter who's an architect. Wouldn't it be great if I designed a building that was, you know, in the Chicago Loop, or, you know, right along Madison Avenue in New York City, or maybe someplace international? Wouldn't that be fun? If you're if you have dreams of being an athlete, which all kids do, especially boys, almost nobody makes it. But it is fun to sit there and just say, oh, I'd love to, you know, play for the Cardinals or the Yankees or something like that. So that's what all people do. You just sort of sit there and you project. But when you project, you never think, as a 15-year or 16-year-old kid who has seen one or two Woody Allen movies, you never think you're going to be sitting face to face with the actual guy, Woody Allen. You just don't think that way. It would never, you'd be insane to think that way. And yet, on this date in 1996, there I was, sitting 3 feet away from Woody Allen for a movie called Everybody Says I Love You, one of the least recognizable or memorable Woody Allen movies, which is why he sat there and did interviews. He was trying to pull the movie out of the fire. It was a musical. It was a musical, and he didn't tell the people who he hired to be actors in the movie that it was a musical. They all found out later. Big surprise, the movie didn't do well, huh? But I still got my Woody Allen interview, and I brought in my copy of Annie Hall, and he autographed it for me. So, and I have very, very mixed emotions about Woody Allen. And, you know, it could go on for days. You just feel so conflicted because the movies meant so much to me and audiences around the world, and yet there's something wrong there. There's something really, really wrong there. Carney got his DUI on this date back in 2004. I was going to skip over that, and then I thought to myself, why should I do that? But again, the big story here for the next couple of days, Tropical Storm Ian, well, now it's Hurricane Ian, is about to just bomb the shit out of Florida. And just out of force of habit, Ted Cruz got on a flight to Mexico. And with that, that's the J.C. Corcoran podcast for today, September 27th, 2022. 42 days until we find out whether this government can survive. We are here every weekday morning right about this time with the J.C. Corcoran podcast. It's all free. We archive all the shows. You can email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. I'm going to be posting lots of pictures and videos of the storm as it comes in. And by the way, if anybody knows how you're supposed to walk a dog when you're getting 20 inches of rain and there's 100-mile-an-hour winds, you let me know, okay? Because I haven't figured that out yet. Have a great day, everybody. We've got lots of lawn furniture and stuff outside that's got to be brought in. So I'm on my way. We'll talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.